Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Paul. It's good to be here once again this week doing one of my very favorite things, interviewing friends old and new. And today we have an old friend. Today my guest is our good friend Terry Hershey. It's been almost two months, Terry, since the last time we did a show together. That was because it was a New Year's resolution show that we did.
Seriously?
I don't think we've waited this long in between.
Seriously?
Yeah. So for those of you, what?
Well, I was going to say that reminds me of a truism. A truism is that when you're young and you drop something, you lean down and pick it up. But when you get older and you drop something, you look at it for a while and contemplate, do I really need this anymore?
And the fact of that, it is a real truism, because I will look down and say, do I really need that, or is that something I can leave for someone else?
Yeah. I don't know how that related to our show back in January, but I'm sure it fit.
Well, it doesn't relate to anything except it's a good story.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are not familiar with Terry and his good story, he is the author of now 17 books, with the new one coming out this fall. He's a sought-after public speaker, award-winning landscape architect of English country gardens, a mentor to many, and the most comfortably introverted man I know. I like that, comfortably introverted. Do you like that?
I actually do. That's a great phrase.
Yeah, that's for your eulogy. I'm working on it now.
Yeah, comfortably introverted. I like that.
Yeah, so today, Terry and I plan to talk about what I'm referring to as one of the fastest growing phobias in the United States, and it's being called FOMO, or the fear of missing out. And I think what we'll do is get right into the topic, bring on Hirsch, and chat about the fear of missing out. Yo, Hirsch, what's up,
ready,
amigo?
I'm ready. Fear, hang on, let me check my email while we're doing this.
Okay. That's good. Because you don't want to miss out on what's coming. You know, it's funny. I could actually.
But that's true.
I could actually do the same thing, even hosting the show.
I mean, I'm serious, because I'm in the post office today, waiting in line, which is what you do. You wait in line in the post office. Think of places you wait in line to mail something, because that's what I'm going to mail something. So you just wait in line to mail something. But every single person, and this is on my little island, which is supposed to be pretty progressive, advanced people, on my little island, everybody's looking at their phone. I'm thinking, what's wrong with just waiting in line?
I know. I was just talking to somebody at the club about that today.
So now I have to get something done while I'm waiting in line? I don't get that part, really.
Yeah, well, how about the waiting in lines where there's televisions? I've seen televisions, and I don't go into banks anymore, but I remember one time I was in a bank, and they had a television for the line, so you could watch the latest soap opera while you're standing in line.
I was in your state in California, and got gas in a rental car, and they had televisions in the gas pumps.
I know, they do. They have televisions in the gas pumps.
What the heck?
that's not usually the way that question is formed, but so I got a question for you. Did you know that the acronym FOMO, just FOMO, is actually in the dictionary as a word?
No, I didn't.
I looked it up on dictionary.com, and it's defined as a feeling of anxiety or insecurity over the possibility of missing out on something, such as an event or an opportunity. As in, if I say no to the party invitation, I get a bad case of FOMO.
Correct.
And if I'm not invited, I get a worst case. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to launch it in some way, but I just saw a TED Talk this week with Schwartz, Barry Schwartz, called The Paradox of Choice. And he says that we live in a world where, because we have so many choices, there's not freedom in it really at all. It paralyzes us.
Right.
And I get that. He talks about, you know, my jeans wore out, so I went in to buy jeans. And when I bought these jeans, there was just a pair of jeans. But I went in to buy jeans, and there was 100 types of jeans.
Oh, I know.
And he said, I just want jeans. And they said, no, you have to try on all the jeans. And he said, when I just had one pair of jeans, I was content with the fact that they weren't perfect jeans, but they were jeans. But now that I had 100 choices or whatever, I had to try them all on, and I found some that were, by God, they were great jeans, but they weren't quite perfect. And he said, at the end, I walked out after having more choices than ever, less satisfied than I was with my imperfect jeans last time.
and without buying any new jeans?
No, he had to buy the jeans, but the point is In other words, there was nothing satisfying about having 100 choices.
Oh, I know. Remember the days it was Cheerios and cornflakes, and that was it? That was all that was in the aisle.
I went in. This is a true story. I went in because I like Triscuits, to buy Triscuits. You know, there's like 12 choices of Triscuits.
No.
All I wanted was Triscuits.
The yellow box.
That's the fear of missing out. In other words, they give you all these choices because just in case, there's something better for you.
So you can't walk out satisfied knowing that you missed out on something and you might not have made the right choice.
Well, you know what? That's an interesting sentence that you say it that way, because see, it's not really that's true. It's about making a correct choice or an appropriate choice rather than simply being content.
Yes. That's crazy. That's crazy. So I'm thinking, as I was preparing this, I was thinking FOMO, FOMO. But then I'm thinking about you and me and all our other introverted friends. We have a different acronym that's TGIMO.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm missing out. Because I don't want to be involved.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing that we're being... the fascinating thing about all the tech companies coming under sort of, scrutiny is the fact that, and they're very blunt about the fact that the programming for social media is to addict you.
Right. Right.
It is. And we're wired that way. And when that happens, you're not completely satisfied. And by satisfied, I mean you can't come to a resting point.
Never.
And say, I am here now.
Right.
I don't remember who said it, but, you know, be here when you're here.
Wherever you are, be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mama, listen to me, but this time with your eyes. In other words, be here.
Right.
And when you're addicted, you're not there. It's hard to be there because there's one. It's just
because I want to know. Read quickly what is going on, and then move on. Because you know what? You know, directly tied into what you're saying, or maybe exactly what you're saying. As I was reading up on this subject, I discovered that fear of missing out is believed to be a strong driver for those who are addicted to social media, which leads to what is called pathological internet use. Pathological internet use. But as you said, social media is designed to make you addicted and to make you pathological. So,
I know
the people that live on social media. They spend, you know, I have a friend who's sending a post, you know, I don't know how I get it, but I get a post, two posts a day on Facebook. And, you know, Facebook is just for old people now. The kids don't use it. But does two posts a day and, you know, sends me a picture of his backyard. And I'm thinking, cool. You know?
So what you're telling me is if it's for old people, then Facebook is for me, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Except I think it's a little bit over your head, technically. I'm really not quite so sure your Luddite self could manage your way through it.
I have a Facebook page.
A business page or a personal page?
No, well, a business page. And I post my Sabbath Moment, which is my blog. And then I do, and then I post a sort of inspirational quote. But it's the thing, fear of missing out thing is because my whole theme is about what does it mean to be present, which means to be attentive in this moment. Literally to be here. What's that mean to be here? And what is it that keeps us from just being here? What's going on? Why is it? Think about this for a minute. I'm not that long ago, the Super Bowl's on. So you're watching the Super Bowl. This is supposed to be the premium event, right? You're watching a premium event. I mean, and this is something you've been waiting for. The advertisements during the Super Bowl, and they even, the guys, the announcers even were saying, you don't want to miss. The advertisements are about things you don't want to miss what were happening in the future while you're at the thing you're supposed to be not wanting to miss. It amazed me. That's the way we're wired.
You're going to have to help me with that. I kind of didn't. That I'm thinking in the advertisement is about the future, and I'm not focusing on the present game.
Here I am at the event I've been waiting to be at, and the advertisement I'm supposed to watch is, you don't want to miss what's coming ahead at this thing. Make sure
right,
you don't miss this.
Right.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm at the thing I didn't want to miss. Why do I want to focus on this next thing I don't want to miss when I'm at the thing I didn't want to miss?
Yeah, that's a great observation. That's a great observation. You know, I was thinking, as I was pondering this, it really is kind of a complex subject, and I was thinking, you know, there's FOMO light, maybe, and FOMO pathological. And I'm thinking FOMO light in this way. And tell me if you think this is FOMO light or if this is FOMO pathological. And it's a common problem for travelers, especially foreign international travelers. And there is this uneasy feeling that you get if you don't see all the pertinent sights of the trip that you were supposed to enjoy, and somehow your trip is incomplete if you don't see it. Now, so as an example, I'm thinking of like Paris, you know, and what is it? And, you know, I came up with four things. You know, you got to see the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, the Notre Dame, and the Palais de Versailles. There's others that you could add to that. But, you know, after having been to Paris a few times, I never went back to the Eiffel Tower. I could care less about the Eiffel Tower, just a big hunk of steel. Notre Dame, you know what was the coolest part about Notre Dame? It was not the cathedral, not everything about it. I had a 10-year-old son with me at the time, and we walked to the top, and he was enamored with the gargoyles. So they are
pretty amazing. The gargoyles are amazing.
So that was what I was impressed with at Notre Dame, and it's hardly one of the highlights. But But what do you think about that in travel and missing out on you know, the people that take the travel and they'll go to Europe and they want to do, in 12 days, they want to do 10 countries?
So, but because this is the paradigm shift, because that's the irony about the whole missing out thing, is that as soon as we set the table on that, if you don't see this or this or this, you've quote missed out. Your son didn't have that list in front of him, so your son simply saw.
Yeah,
and so the gargoyles enamored him. In other words, he was present for the gargoyles. With the list, and I have no problem with the list. When I travel, there's a list. But I can tell you, I was in Paris just less than a month ago. I was at Notre Dame just less than a month ago. And I'm enamored with, I'll tell you what I was enamored with. I was enamored inside, there's a sign that says, praying only, no photos.
So it's actually a church.
But, yeah, there was nothing on my list that said don't miss this sign.
Yeah.
In other words, it was like the gargoyle. That's a great paradigm shift. In other words, did you see the gargoyles? We missed the gargoyles.
Yeah, well, you had to walk like 500 steps up to get to the gargoyles, but
I know. But the point is, I'm on the ferry boat, and I tell this story about a couple. I'm eavesdropping. It's a summer day on the ferry. You've been on my ferry, Vashon Island, Seattle. Great ferry. People up here have ridden it. And so I'm eavesdropping this couple, and it's fabulous, standing on the deck, looking out, and you're looking at the Olympic Mountains. And the couple, I can tell just from eavesdropping, they've never been on a ferry. They've never been to the Pacific Northwest. They've never seen what they're seeing. And this is a special trip. And he's going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And she's going, what? And he says, this. And she's saying, like, use your words. And he's saying, this is unbelievable. The mountains are beautiful. The water is exquisite. The air, the trees, look at the trees. They're taller than buildings. And we've got 2 weeks without kids and grandkids. This is amazing. And then the next sentence was, we should have done this earlier. And then he talks about all the times they were going to take the trip and they didn't take the trip.
And they lost track of the trip that they were on.
And so I say to people, you know, I had to intervene. And if you don't
doing some up, consulting here,
exactly, you're going to miss this trip too, which is exactly what you just said. Everything about FOMO is you miss the trip you're on.
Yeah.
You miss the gargoyles. You miss the signs that say pray only, no phones.
You know, you know what I've done. Is as you know, in the last few years, I've traveled quite a bit, and believe me, I've seen enough cathedrals, ruins, broken statues, monuments, museums. You could probably have a hard time getting me to go into a cathedral. I may bounce in and bounce out, but after you've seen 24 cathedrals, you've seen two dozen cathedrals, and I found, Terry, what I've become. It's I've become more selective or maybe even deselective, and now I'm finding I'm choosing what I don't want to see. I'm intentionally saying I don't need to see this so-called famous place because it's not going to provide me with the satisfaction that I thought it would.
Yeah, and I'm in favor of that. I mean, that's a good self-selective thing about choice. And then I go to another level, and then whatever you are going to see, tell me what you saw that surprised you. Tell me what you saw that stopped you. Tell me what you saw that made you glad. Tell me what you saw that made you smile. Tell me what you saw that made you glad to be here today.
How did it connect to your humanity? How did it connect to your humanness?
Exactly.
Not that it was just a thing that it becomes a thing on the FOMO light, like I'm calling it. It becomes a thing that's just part of your checklist. Check, 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 check. So that way, when you go home, you've seen the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, been there. Yeah, you've seen the Louvre. Yeah, been there. You know that. And you know, after you've done it a few times, it doesn't mean that much. But that is FOMO light. I want to talk about the fear of missing out on something that I think is much deeper. My producer is saying, because since I'm switching tracks right now, that now is the time for us to take a break.
Good idea.
Hi, this is Charlie Hedges with the next chapter with Charlie, and we are having a discussion about the fear of missing out with our good friend Terry Hershey, and we just got through talking about FOMO, or the fear of missing out, FOMO light. I think it goes much deeper, and I've read some of the things that you've written, Terry, and I think you feel it goes much deeper, and there is this sort of sense of missing out, you know, in the social media and in parties or in get-togethers. There's sort of a feeling that we're missing out on a basic human need of the need for connectedness. And so how much of FOMO is based on a perception that our needs are not being met, that it's not just that I didn't get to see something, but there's a deep need inside of me that is not getting addressed and met. Does that make sense, what I just asked?
Yeah, sort of. In other words, you don't think it's being addressed.
I don't know how much of FOMO has to do with our basic human needs of self-esteem and connectedness.
Yes. And the assumption is that I need someone to make me okay.
To make me what?
Okay.
Yes.
And I say that's not true.
So being okay is not an external factor as much as it's an internal factor? Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So what kinds of things internally are you talking about? You know, you wrote, let me read something that I read that you wrote, is that we listen to our inner voices that keep our lives small. We live stuck. And I was wondering does that have to do with what you're talking about here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By small, that means that that I'm not content unless I have someone else to validate me. And if that's the case, and to someone else, or to some list that I check off, or to some other achievement that I have. And as long as that's there, that's the FOMO at your next level.
Right.
As long as that's there, it's like, dude, you want to say to me, I want to say to the person, just like on the boat, dude, you've already got the capacity to give and to contribute. So, see, as long as my mind is on that other stuff that need to make me okay, then I don't have the wherewithal to give from who I am now.
Go ahead.
I was going to tell a story.
Oh, well, tell a story. I'm in the mood for a story.
Yeah, so my friend Tim Hansel wrote a book on parenting. He's got two boys, and he says to his boys, how do you know Dad loves you? And, you know, he was looking for some great stories here. And he thought they'd say, Dad, remember when you took us to Disney World, like, for 10 days? And they didn't say that. So he knew he wasted all that money. And then he thought they'd say, Dad, remember Christmas, you bought us all that stuff. And they didn't say that either. And they said, Dad, we know you love us when you wrestle with us.
Yeah.
And he remembered two times he'd come home. He was hungry. He was tired. He was late. He didn't care. And these urchins are jerking on his pants. So he rolled with them on the floor toward the kitchen just to get him out of his way. In the middle of that very ordinary, very boring, very mundane event, real life was happening. So, that's where the pathological part is. Is that in the most extraordinary, ordinary events, real life is happening. And here's what, back to your question is, as long as I'm focused on that other stuff, the Disneylands and the Christmases, I mitigate my capacity to be a wrestler, my capacity to be present for my children, my capacity to be present for my friends and my colleagues and my clients.
I wonder how many of our activities, Terry, are based on as much as a fear of missing out as they are desire to actually attend and do something. It's just that, you know, the Rolling Stones are in town, so I've got to see the Rolling Stones to say I've seen the Rolling Stones, when I really don't have any desire to see the Rolling Stones. They're a bunch of old guys that, you know... it really is an insidious and true fear, and I think you really nailed on something when you talked about advertising and the number of products. It is a built-in system to build within us to attack this basic need of the fear of missing out, and with that, by missing out, it's I walk away somehow feeling less than or not good enough or that I didn't have the wisdom to make the right purchase.
It's interesting. It's fundamental to our system. It's fundamental to Madison Avenue system is that I will buy something because I feel like I'm less than without it.
Or less than or unfortunately not equal to... You know, it's the old keeping up with the Joneses sort of thing.
Yeah, that's actually a good phrase. Yeah, that's a good way to rephrase it. What is it? I mean, do I need... That's like, you know, my kidding. I need to look down and ask, do I really need to bend down and pick this up?
or you get a little bit older and you need to squat because bending down is too dangerous. You may fall over.
Call my children over. I know he's young. He's 50, but still, he might be able to bend down.
So yeah. What's a good way that we could suggest? How do you frame your paradigm or your mindset that you just don't worry about missing out? Because I, you know, one of the things that's happening to me, you know, I'm going through they're turning out to be some significant life changes as I grow older, and you and I have talked about that, you know, the second half of life, and talked about the different variances within that, and I really don't have a fear of missing out. I really don't have a feeling that I need to do anything other than what gives me a sense of fulfillment or a sense of awe and wonder. Those, you know, I'm driven by that. I'm not driven by what other people think or don't think. I used to be, but as I get older, do you think age can have an impact on that?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt about that. In fact, I mean, because people are, I mean, it happens in, you know, people call it the second half of life or whatever, but you start to realize, you know what, I only have so much energy to keep track of something. Let me keep track of the things that really matter. And And I say that, I mean, going back to people, you know, good in your family life, your relational life, and or your business life, how seldom, I mean, how often, seldom, that was a Freudian slip there, but literally, how often do we stop and just, are we grateful for wrestling times, for things that we notice, for the gargoyles in your son's entrance, for the times when we see something and we're present and we're grateful and we're grounded and we're there and it matters? Because very often, I've been in so many meetings, and this is going to business now, I've been in so many meetings, and we're so focused on what yet has to be done and what needs to be done and what's around the corner that we don't ground us with what has just happened with us as a team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I go through it with the NGO, with the nonprofit that I work with, is that we're always thinking, how do we get better fundraising so we can do more, so we can have more impact? And I am of the opposite focus. I've taken over operations because I think we're just doing a wonderful job right now, and I want to be involved with the people in Uganda who are actually doing what we hope to do. And, you know, they're not thinking so much in the future. They're thinking, I got to get up today and I got to go out and I've got to go out into the rural villages and teach or drill wells or repair wells. And
yeah. it's just my way of perceiving things, Charlie, but that's so perfect. I mean, from our vantage point, someone from Uganda, from a village that gets up and they're not thinking, who do I need to text today so that I'm
right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. They may have a telephone, but they don't have text.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're not.
But I mean, and because my invitation with this is not to make people like, oh, my God, but tell me where you celebrate being present.
So for you, that really is the antidote to this FOMO, is to focus on the present and truly appreciate what you're experiencing at this moment.
Yes. In other words, it's literally taking pauses. If it's the end of the day, fine. But throughout the day where you're going, okay, tell me, I need to have affirmation about what just happened. And so you mentioned a book that's coming out this year. So it's a little bit about this. There's this one. I was just literally reading this one chapter where someone named Jim Elliot said, wherever you are, be all there, right?
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Right.
So this is, I'm reading to you from the book I'm writing, and this is what happened. I was going to spend some time wrestling with the wisdom of Jim Elliot's statement, which is, wherever you are, be there, and distill it for a lecture, but Brian called me this morning with an exciting opportunity. His name didn't ring a bell, but Brian chatted like he knew me well. And it's not every day you get offered an exciting opportunity. Brian wanted to offer me a free satellite dish. This kind of generosity makes you all tingly inside, doesn't it? I could get 500 channels, Brian told me, and all these options provided me so much more to enjoy in life. Brian chirped. Literally, he chirped.
And you listened to Brian. Him.
Well, and here's why. And I would never have to be afraid of missing anything because I could record all the good stuff. I didn't want to burden Brian with the fact that being faced with a lot of options makes me want to beat my head against a metal pole. So 500 channels might send me straight to the floor in a fetal position. Instead, I tell Brian that while I was in awe of his offer to appreciate life, I asked if I could make my decision after I spend my day potting some new cuttings from my garden, filling my bird feeders, and taking a brief nap in my lawn chair. Brian was quiet. I'm not sure Brian understood.
So you actually told him that?
Yeah.
And so you got rid of a sales call by telling the truth.
I said, you know, I'm going to go into my garden and I'm going to pile up some stuff and then I'm going to feed the birds and then I'm going to take a nap. And there was like nothing. Boom. And he hung up on me.
But you bring up a good point with the advertising, and you've mentioned it before. Advertisers and marketing people have discovered that if we can tap into this FOMO, into this fear of missing out, that I have to buy this or else I'm really missing out on the next big thing. The problem is, like you said, with choices, how do you know which is the next big thing? You know, I notice it when I go to the pharmacy and, you know, and I may want to buy shaving cream or deodorant. And the choices, Terry, of deodorant are overwhelming. I have no idea. And then I know that I want to buy the old one that I always liked, but they don't carry that anymore because they carry the new brand. So I don't know. I have no idea what to buy. And it is quite frustrating.
I know. I'm with you. I just think they should have a place in all pharmacies, just like a holding cell for people who are paralyzed by choices.
So they just have, here's the best. You know, just these are the ones we at the drugstore prefer, or at the pharmacy prefer, and we just buy out of that list. Just say, I'm taking somebody else's view on it. So it's like going to Barnes and Noble's, and it's the employee's recommendation. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that book. I don't have to run around all look at all the sales.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thing about. You know, like that couple on the boat, I just wanted them to be in the trip they were on, not in the fear of missing out trip, so not in the fear of what they missed out before trip, or any of the stuff. Yeah.
Well, it's so difficult. You know, the concept of being present is so difficult in our culture now. I mean, and you nailed it when, you know, you're talking about films at the gas station and all of our little social media toys or our little phones or tablets or whatever. And just as you said, standing in line, everybody's on their phone. You're sitting and waiting at the dentist office, and everybody's looking at their phone.
Yeah, Pascal said it many, many years ago that we're afraid of the empty space in our own room. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of the empty space.
And why is that?
And so that goes, well, that goes back to the whole thing between, because you alluded to it earlier with whether we felt enough. That's the whole thing about scarcity and sufficiency. I don't think I'm enough, so I have to fill the space. If I'm enough, think about it as a child. There's no fear of empty space.
No.
None at all. You find joy in whatever the empty space is, and playing with whatever is there.
Yeah, I just wrote about that, I wrote about it and then didn't publish it, but I did write about it and talking about how I there was no missing out as a child because, you know, we played make believe. You know, we didn't have anything
exactly
to do. We just would, you know, play cowboys and get out there and do our sheriff thing, you know, and we could do that for hours, literally, and without fear of missing out on some sort of activity or something else I was supposed to be doing.
Think about that as a child. If someone said, you realize if you just play that game, you're going to miss out on this. There's no concept. That's not even a paradigm that's even in our, in other words, at some time, at some point in our development, that was taken away from us, the being present.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, unfortunately, I think it's being taken away earlier and earlier in childhood with the way we're working educational systems and at at kindergarten and first grade were thinking about the high school courses.
Absolutely. You know what university you're going to go to. And so my deal is to take people back to, okay, tell me about, don't tell me down the road. Tell me about today. Tell me about where you were today and where you were alive today and where you were grounded today and where you were connected. Back to your thing about being connected. Where was that today? Just talk about that. And not just talk about it. Celebrate it. Embrace it. Be grateful for it.
But, you know, it's more, we've got 5 minutes left here. It's more difficult for some people. Let me close by bringing up this example. And it's in our realm that we've been talking about, but I'm moving a bit out of it. And I wonder what you think. I was speaking with the manager of, I have a writing spot that I go to before the show every Wednesday. And the manager of the place is a single woman, and she feels that she misses out on a lot of things because she's a single woman, and she fears how she would be perceived if she were to do something like go to dinner at a very nice restaurant by herself. And so she doesn't want that perception on her, so she feels she's missing out on a lot of things she would like to do, and she wants to make some corrections to that and go ahead and do it. She and I were talking about that. But you know, what do you do when you're in a situation where you know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't?
I'm not a single woman, but I have dined alone many, many times.
I know.
When you go into a restaurant, because I travel, when you go into a restaurant, dine alone, they say table for one, and you look to your side and you say, no, I'm with my partner here. And you make something up and you have this imaginary thing, and they look at you like, dude.
Yeah, I'm with somebody that doesn't eat and doesn't like to be seen.
Well, it's the key there is the perception thing. Tell me why that perception is so powerful. That's what I would talk to anyone about. Tell me, why does that hold power? Why does that hold sway? And why does that win over your desire to eat? Why does that win over your desire to enjoy food? Why does that win over your desire simply to enjoy the restaurant? Why does that win? Tell me how that gets to win.
You know, somehow this whole missing out thing really, really goes to our fundamental ego needs, and that is self-esteem and self-importance. And you know, it attacks both of them, and that's why the advertisers are brilliant. I mean, they may be corrupt, but they're brilliant in their process because they're hitting a very basic, fundamental human need. You know, they're going beyond the need for cereal or deodorant. They're going back to my basic need of existence. Of what I base my ego on.
Yeah, I think that's fundamentally true. Which takes us back to that this isn't solved at the level of the product that we're purchasing or not purchasing. This has to do with how do we refuel and take care of what is fundamentally necessary for our own identity. How do we do that?
Boy, I think that's the question we wrap it up with, because that is that's perfect. How do we deal with our fundamental identity without the acquisition of things or the attendance with other people that we find it within ourselves, deep somewhere within ourselves? Of, are we doing something like what you said, of awe and wonder, something about making an impact? Those are things that are going to make a difference.
100%.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for spending time with me today. Huh?
Good.
I want to encourage everyone who's listening to check out Terry's always inspirational post, The Sabbath Moment, or Sabbath Moment, not The Sabbath Moment, which can be found at terryhershey.com. And I also want to thank our listeners for tuning in to The Next Chapter with Charlie. And be sure to check us out at our website, thenextchapter.life. And until next, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. Bye for now.